We are not going to waste any time because our next guest is armed with lots of information and we want to get to it. You're hearing some of his clips throughout the morning in Stephen Stone's news report. We have David Hooper joining us. He is the director for RFATS. Remember, RFATS stands for the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study, and they look at just the roads system around our area. And David is here. He kind of recaps each month the meeting that they had. And good morning to you, David.
Well, Lucas, Ashley, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
David, let's go ahead and jump right on in to this Kierwins Boulevard Interchange Feasibility Study announcement. So it was last year, December of 2024, when the governor came to town to announce that he is putting some money towards the feasibility study of improving Kierwins Boulevard. What does that mean, and where do we stand with that now?
Well, as I remember seeing you there, it was December 12th. It was a brisk morning, to say the least. But the governor came out with some good news. He wanted to allocate some money to undertake a comprehensive feasibility study at the Kierwins Boulevard interchange for some of the reasons we talk about on a regular basis, which is the existing population, the growth that's projected, and the unique characteristics there at Kierwins. You know, when we kind of focus into that location, we recognize that it's not just demand coming from RFATS, but there's folks coming from Gaston County, Charlotte, Concord, and other areas, and they all have to channel through this one interchange. So the governor and regional leaders here in York County recognize the unique significance of this interchange, and that's what the governor's announcement was covering.
So that means that money is going to come to study this area in layman's terms, right? I mean, they're going to see how to make this exit, one, attractive to folks coming into our state, right? Is they call it the gateway into South Carolina, but also to move people around faster and safer.
Effectively.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
He's basically made a request to the state DOT that said, let's dedicate some money and take a good hard look at this location.
Now, how are our friends in North Carolina responding to this? Because I understand that you also received some information from them that's kind of a head scratcher to those within RFATS.
It is. We received some information. I mean, it's a busy, growing environment, so this is not entirely uncommon. But we did receive some follow-up to a decision that our counterpart agency up in Charlotte made to basically ask their state DOT to explore the incorporation of HOV lanes or carpool lanes from Charlotte down to the state line. And that's consistent with actions they've taken going from Charlotte up to Lake Norman, as well as along 74 and I-485. But when you bring it down to the state line, and what was interesting to us is its proximity to the announcement of the feasibility study, but also that this decision reflects a reversal of a prior decision not to do this, because it would be so impactful and so expensive. And of course, whenever we spend federal money, we have to make that connection between what is proposed and the amount of money we want to spend and make sure that it's a good use of the taxpayer's dollar. And the reason I highlight this as a part of answering your question is their study is going to involve looking at putting in those HOV lanes, which would require the rebuilding of every single interchange from Charlotte down to the state line. I believe the current count is 16. The initial price tag for that is $3.7 billion, which, according to the reports in North Carolina, would represent the single most expensive project in North Carolina state history. So that caught our attention, understandably. And I think there was a real concern about the manner in which this was introduced or unveiled, that we have an established protocol about the best ways to undertake projects or planning of regional significance, and this seemed to deviate from that.
Mm-hmm. So does that impact the feasibility study, or does the feasibility study now have to maybe take into account those possible changes?
It's more likely the latter, because their initiative has already begun. Mm. And as with any study, when you are conducting a feasibility study, one of the very first things you'll do is say, what other planning initiatives are relevant to this general area? And this is certainly relevant if they decide to go forward in North Carolina. And of course, just think about the operational side, which is if you've been on the HOV lanes in North Carolina, you know that they're going to have to taper down that structure as you come into the state line and then make it work with whatever reconfigured interchanges put in at Kierwins. So on the back end, if you will, after they've done their plan and then they begin to do the feasibility study, they'll need to make sure everything is broadly compatible operationally.
And that $3.5 billion, that's a pretty big price tag. Is any of that coming out of South Carolina funds, or will that project be paid for by North Carolina?
The latter. That is all North Carolina. This is unrelated to South Carolina. The SCDOT has been very clear in years past that that's a strategy, a technique that we are not going to be applying in South Carolina. That's not uncommon. I mean, you see these types of treatments, these types of improvements at targeted locations throughout the United States, but they're not appropriate in every location. So no, that does not involve South Carolina. It's just its proximity to the state line that will require a higher level of coordination.
All right, I'm going to get us off the road for a quick second, but David, bring us back on in right after this. Will those possible HOV lanes really relieve some of the congestion that happens right there beyond Carowinds on I-77 between there and Independence Boulevard, where it just comes to a complete stop for miles? There's like no car can go.
And for no reason.
All of a sudden, it just opens up right there past Tivola.
Right. It will not fundamentally change that because it's not designed to. HOV lanes in technical language is called sort of what's called congestion pricing, which is you never want to see the HOV lanes as busy or congested as the general purpose lanes. Mm. The idea is that those lanes serve effectively as a reliever, so that when time really counts, and most people would say it counts all the time, but in those moments when it really counts, running to the airport, trying to respond to a medical emergency for a family member or something, and you need system reliability and you're willing to pay for that, that's where they become a critical link and how people can move around. So it doesn't change the underlying traffic dynamic. It's just one element of trying to respond to everything we see around us happening.
I know you don't speak for Charlotte DOT, but can they not fix that congestion? That is just a juggernaut, and you're kind of up the creek without a paddle.
You're right on point, Lucas, which is, I mean, let us go right to the point. If you set up any city, and this is not unique to Charlotte, any urban core, but you set it up somewhat like a pyramid where you've got all of the dense development in the center, and then you do a 277, and then you do a 485, which is going to spur residential development around those. Everything's going to swell in and swell out. And so it's not going to be uncongested by design. You can make the system as efficient, as safe, and as reliable or predictable as you can be, but that doesn't mean uncongested.
Okay. I understand your answer, David. I don't like it, though.
I wish I had a more optimistic message for you.
I know. Of all people, if it can be solved, you can solve it. That's why we enjoy our conversation so much with you. And you have to travel those roads, too. And I know you don't like sitting in traffic like everyone else. David, let's keep moving right along here. We're going to talk from cars now to people. We've been hearing a lot about this pedestrian bridge that's going to happen in downtown Rock Hill. We're getting closer and closer to this becoming a reality. Where do we stand right now on the timeline for this?
Absolutely. This is a good news story. This, for all the talk we have about roads and cars and they're critical to area movement, it's not the only form of movement that's relevant in an area that's growing like we are. And we've got to look for multimodal movement. And so with this in mind, the City of Rock Hill put together what was ultimately a winning application through the Reconnecting Communities Grant Program to incorporate a pedestrian flyover bridge along Dave Lyle, right there at White Street, coming over to the other side where they've got a lot of additional development that's going to take place. And this really is something that we're pleased with. This is one award in the state. They brought in $10 million, not insignificant. And if I can pat the planning professionals in the region on the shoulder, Penelope Karagounis, the planning director up at Fort Mill, submitted a planning grant that was awarded. And the reason I want to highlight this is for this program, there were two awards in the entire state of South Carolina, obviously both of them coming to RFATS. So it's good to be able to share some news that beyond all the challenges with the big projects, we've got staff who are pounding the ground to do the right thing and to bring in additional money, and this is an example of that.
When do we see this coming to light?
I would expect 2026, I believe, is when they'll start. the work on that.
And where exactly, just for some reference points for people, where exactly is it going to start and finish?
I believe it's right across from where the new apartment complex was put in on the other side, and then this will connect into where the old Herald property is located.
From my understanding, it's going to be right there at almost at the corner of Main Street and Dave Law Boulevard. I think there's a marker there that it's kind of like where Rock Hill was founded, so to speak. And I think that's right. I think that's where I've always been told that's what's going to be. And this is a bridge or a pedestrian flyover bridge is also something that might be happening in the Kingsley development up in Fort Mill.
There's nothing that's set for announcement, but I've made this argument. Others have talked about it because where you have those high concentration areas, those developments of regional impact, you know, often we talk about all the congestion and safety concerns. This is one of those improvements that at on the surface may not get your attention, but it allows you to move from one point to another without having to get into a car, without having to give up your parking space. It gives you reliability. It's safer. It has a favorable impact on air quality because one of the worst offenders out there are short cold start trips with vehicles. So it also adds convenience. So it's able to touch, you know, four or five different areas of the planning process all with one project. And we like those.
Okay. All right. Well, if we talk about it enough, it might come to light.
Hopefully, David. It will.
Okay.
Hopefully, it will.
That's some of the headlines coming from RFATS, the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study. David Hooper is the director. And David, as always, sir, thank you so much.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.